as you raise your hands, with that in mind, Lord, we surrender all. Not some, but all. And as we surrender all today, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and allow the word to do what only it can, which is to direct us, correct us, encourage us, and strengthen us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you in advance for doing something on the inside that will change our lives on the outside. And so we give you glory and we give you praise and we give you thanks ahead of time for doing exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you praise and we give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Can everybody give Jesus a shout this morning? Hallelujah! We praise you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, go ahead one more time.
I put my faith in Jesus.
Yes.
My anchor to the ground. My hope in you never let me down. See, I put my faith in.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right there where you are. Grab your Bibles, whatever you're going to use to access the word. We're going to jump right into the word today. Amen. Hold it up real high, and if you're watching us online, repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Come on, say it with conviction. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. Not Apostle Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. How many were here on last week? Hands. Okay, good. I said on last week that I will be doing some shotgun messages for the rest of the month. And so last week my topic was, don't just seed, learn to receive. Everybody say, don't just seed, learn to receive. And I gave some application instructions. And I try to do that because when you apply the word, it changes your life. And so the first application I gave was, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And so when you hear a message, that should be the first question that you ask yourself. And then number two, I said, you need to repent from false humility and pride so that favor can flow. The third instructions that I gave you last week was to talk favor and expect favor. Everybody say talk favor and expect favor. And then number four, I said follow the favor and watch God work. Well, church, when I give you things to do after a message, you need to treat what I tell you like your doctor is giving you a prescription. Amen. In the words of Nike, just do it. Here's a take-home statement before we jump into this. The word applied will keep your faith alive. Everybody say, the word applied will keep your faith alive. And so I received a testimony from one of our members this past week regarding the message. And so I'm going to read it just like they sent it to me. It said, my name is Sharon Simpson, and I wanted to share my testimony that aligns with the sermon, Don't Just Seed, Learn to Receive, that Apostle E preached on Sunday, April 10th. He instructed us to declare favor and expect favor this week. I left church super excited in my spirit. On yesterday, Monday, April 13th, I even posted on Facebook, I declare favor and expect favor this week. On that same day, everybody say on the same day. On that same day, the Holy Spirit instructed me to call the venue where I'm hosting a brunch next February. Out of obedience, I made the call and simply asked a question regarding time. Well, this morning, Tuesday, April 14th, I received an email from management informing me that they're only going to charge me 50% of the venue's rental cost, and they said they just wanted to be a blessing to my women's brunch. Somebody say amen to that. And listen, 50% is a lot. Think about walking into a dealership and they give you 50% off that. Everybody say, the word works if you will work the word. So if you're taking notes today, as a matter of fact, if you didn't get the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy of this morning's notes. But our message title today is Guarding Against Distractions. Guarding against distractions. Now, before we get started, I just want you to do this for me. Look at your neighbor and say to them, don't be distracted today. Don't be distracting me today. Now look at your other neighbor and say, well, don't be talking to me then. And the goal of the message today is to help you discern the enemy's distractions so you won't be derailed from your assignment and your purpose. Because anytime God is wanting to elevate you, the enemy will use distractions to break your focus, which can potentially stop your progress. Let me say this to you. Listen, this is a year of elevation and what? Manifestation. And when that happens, when God wants to elevate you, distractions will come. So our text is found in Nehemiah chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can find Nehemiah 6. However, what I want to do before we jump into Nehemiah 6, I want to give a summary on the previous chapters so that we can understand how we got to Nehemiah chapter 6. So in chapter 1, Nehemiah, who worked for a king, hears that the wall of Jerusalem had been broken down. And so God put a burden on the inside of Nehemiah to repair the wall. And this is important to note because before God does a work through you, he will first do a work in you. Everybody say, before God does a work in you, but for you, he must do a work through you. In chapter 2, God gives him favor with the king. And so when he got permission from the king, the king gave him permission, he gave him provision, and he gave him protection to go and fix the wall. And this is important because where God guides, he provides. In chapter 3, the work on the wall begins, and so he got everybody in, you know, who was part of the community, he got them all involved. He got the families, he's got the leaders, he's even had the priest involved, because a vision, when God gives a person a vision, it starts with one person, but it benefits many. And so in chapter 4 now, opposition shows up, because anytime you do something for God, opposition is going to come. Say amen to that. And so opposition shows up, they're mocking them, they're threatening them, they're attacking them. And I love what it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. It says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. And I love this part. Read this with me if you're looking on the board. It says, for the people had a, what did they have? They had a mind to work. And anytime the people of God get a mind to work, the enemy goes to work. I'm going to say that again. Anytime the people of God have a mind to work, then the enemy goes to work. And they knew that they were going to get some opposition, because that comes when you're doing something for the Lord. Amen. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15, in the Message translation, listen to what it says. It says, the common laborers held a tool in one hand and a spear in the other hand. Each of the builders had a sword strapped, watch this, to the side as he worked. I want y'all to notice what was happening. Those who were building the wall, they had a tool in one hand and they had a weapon in the other hand. Because when God is elevating you, you got to remember, not only is God using you, but he's going to, listen, you have to have a weapon to fight the enemy as well. Because anytime you experience opposition, most of the time it's a sign that you're going in the right direction. Amen. Chapter 5 now, watch this now. The problem shifts from external to now internal. The people are now turning on each other. The people began exploiting one another. And so Nehemiah has to bring correction and restore order. Because if the enemy can't stop you from the outside, then he'll try now to disrupt you from the inside. Say amen to that. And sometimes the enemy is the inner me. Amen. Distractions can actually come as thoughts. I mean, here it is, you're single. How many singles in the room? Single people in the room? Yeah, yeah. And here it is, now you start getting these thoughts of loneliness. And instead of fighting these feelings and fighting these thoughts, you surrender to them and you end up dating out of season. Here it is, you're answering DMs and you never do that. Let's go on to chapter 6 here. Y'all ain't ready for that part. Chapter 6. So now we get to chapter 6, which is our focus. And so the burden that God put in Nehemiah was birthed. The vision starts moving forward. They started progressing in the work, and then opposition came. The internal issues have been addressed. And so now the enemy changes his strategy on Nehemiah. Watch this. He moves from attack to distract. And when the enemy realizes he can't stop you, he'll try to steal your focus. So let's now look in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1. I'm reading out of the Message translation this morning. It says, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there were no more breaks in it, even though I hadn't yet installed the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent this message. Come and meet with us at Capernaum in the valley of Ono. And watch what Nehemiah says. He says, I knew they were scheming to hurt me. So I sent messengers back with this message. Read it with me, church. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Everybody say, I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. He goes on to say, why should the work come to a standstill just so I can come down to see you? Church, distractions only work when you lose your focus of how great of a work you're doing. Look at verse 4. Four times, everybody say four times. Four times they sent this message to Nehemiah. And then four times Nehemiah gave them the same answer. Watch verse 6 or verse 5. The fifth time, it's the same message, the same messenger. Sanballat sent an unsealed letter with this message. The word is out among the nations, and Geshem says it's true that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. That's why you're really building the wall. The word is that you really want to be king and that you have appointed prophets to announce in Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. The king is going to be told all of this. Don't you think we need to sit down and have a talk? He says, Nehemiah says, I sent this back to him. There is nothing to what you're saying. You've made it all up. Look at your neighbor and say, you a lie. Made it all up. Look in verse 9. And so they were trying, listen to what Nehemiah says, they were trying to intimidate us into quitting. They thought, they'll give up, they'll never finish it, and I pray, give me strength. So this brings us now to our first point on guarding against distractions, which is distractions can come disguised as opportunities. Distractions can come disguised as opportunities. Look down back in verse 1. It says, when Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that we were rebuilding the wall and that there were no more breaks in it, even though I hadn't installed the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent the message, come meet with us. I want you to notice that Nehemiah's enemies did not show up with swords or weapons. They came with invitations. In other words, the distractions came by way of an invitation. Our distractions don't look bad. Some, watch this, some distractions look attractive. Amen. In Proverbs 9:13, there was a woman who lived on Main Street, and there were some men walking by. So we're going to read what happened. It says, there is this woman. Everybody say, she's a woman. There is this other woman, Madam Prostitute, brazen, empty-headed, frivolous. Wow. She sits on the front porch of her house on Main Street, and as people walk by, minding their own business, here's a distraction, she calls out, are you confused about life? Don't know what's going on? Steal off. Come go with me. I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life. But what these people don't know about that her is that all the skeletons are in her closet and that all of her guests end up in hell. Just because it looks good, just because it sounds good, doesn't mean it is good for you. God's call on your life requires a custom fit. Everybody say custom fit. Custom fit. So you can't afford to entertain generic distractions. Because it might be good for other people, but it may not be good for you. Amen. Years ago, right before I started Word of Truth Family Church, as you have to understand, in 1992, the Lord spoke to me in Bible school that I would be a pastor. Something that I never thought I'd be, but that's what he said he wanted me to do. So you fast forward, time goes by, I'm going to a church, and eventually the pastor of the church asked me to come and work for him. And so I started working for this church, and what I discovered is I had some administrative abilities that I operated in the business world, but I didn't realize that they were really there for the church world. So I started working for this church, and so long story short, a few years go by, like 3 years, and the Spirit of God would come and on me and make it feel like I need to quit and start a church. And I wasn't ready to do that. So I'm like, I'm not doing that. So I just pushed that down, and then after pushing down, you know, that's called quenching the Holy Spirit, just so you didn't know. I'd push it down, and then, you know, the Lord would give me some more time, you know, maybe a month or two go by, and it come back up again. And so after about 4 or 5 of that, I got upset, and it came back up again. And finally, I was like, okay, you want me to quit? I'll quit today. I just basically was like, look, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And then he left me alone. And here's why. He was just looking for me to say yes. So I said yes. And so I had been praying, and so the Lord had put in my heart where I felt I needed to start the church, which was going to be in Lakeland, Florida. That's where I thought I would start a church. And after praying about it, had a map on the wall and everything, and prayed about it. And all of a sudden, after, I don't know, about a year. In fact, I went to my pastor at the time, and I said, hey, listen here. He already knew that I was going to start a church. I told him that before I even started coming to his church. But you know, what's interesting is the people in his church never knew that I was starting a church, because I told him that's not something they need to know, because I didn't want to mess his church up. Okay, that's order right there. So anyway, he says, well, why don't you take some of your teachings at here and put them on the radio in Florida? I thought, wow, that's a great idea. Let them hear you before you get here. And so I started praying about it and started getting things together. And after a while, the Lord shifted and said, no, I want you to stay here. So now I'm having a conflict. I'm like, I don't want to mess up the church I'm coming from. But I didn't know that that church was going to go under. I didn't know that. But the Lord knew that. So anyway, Here it is. I saw some things happening in that pastor's life, so I quit. I didn't have no job or nothing. I just quit. And so here it is. I'm sitting at home chilling, and my attorneys call me. They said, "Hey, Evan, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm chilling right now." They said, "You know what? Write this date, this address down. Why don't you go tomorrow, put on a suit, put your resume together. There's somebody I think would be good for you to meet." I had no clue what they were talking about. So I get up the next day and I go, and I realize that I'm getting ready to be interviewed. So I go in this room and I meet this guy, and this guy was like the number one man of a very major person in ministry. If I said their name right now, you would know exactly who it is. And so I ended up in an interview. It was like a teleconference interview where he was on the TV and it was me. And he started interviewing me and he loved me. Why wouldn't he? So he was like, "Hey, I need you on a plane as soon as possible to come and meet with me in person." And so when we got done, I told the guy, I was like, "Well, okay, well, I can work this out." He says, "Oh, I've already got your ticket." I was like, "What?" So anyway, I flew to California, met with the guy, and he was like, "I like this." And I remember him asking me how much money he asked me how much money I was being paid or was being paid at that church. And then he asked me how much I wanted to make, and I told him. And he was like, "Oh, I'll pay you way more than that." He says, "Why do churches pay so cheap?" That's what he said to me back then, you know. So anyway, he was going to pay me, you know, starting in the 60s, but it was kind of way up there, right? So I was like, "Oh, that's cool." But watch this. When I realized how much I was going to be gone, Heaven at the time was a little, she might have been 7. I didn't want to be away from home because I would have been traveling a whole lot. And even though the benefits sounded so well, private jet, nice hotels, all of that, I was like, "No, this is not it. So we both agreed, "No, we're not going to do this." And right after that is when the Lord spoke to me and says, "Now I want you to start your church." What's my point? Sometimes invitations come in the form of a distraction. And had I done that, I would not be doing this. Do y'all understand that? So that now brings us to point number 2, which is distractions can be consistent and persistent. And you may be thinking, "Well, what's the difference?" Well, consistent is something that you do repeatedly. Notice they offered him to come and meet 4 times. But persistent is different. Persistent is about pressure. It's about pushing. So notice now in Nehemiah 6, verses 1, the B part of the verse, it says, "Sambalat sent a message, 'Come and meet with us in the valley of Ono.' I knew they were scheming." And watch this. All the enemy's distractions are designed to eventually hurt you and not help you. So he says, "I'm doing a great work. I can't come down." So here's the question I want you to think about. What does coming down from a work look like? Because see, some of you all are either in the middle of some distractions or some distractions are coming, and I'm trying to head it off at the pass. Because see, what I'm going to show you later is sometimes if you yield to distractions, you can end up in places you shouldn't be. Or you can end up in relationships with people you shouldn't be. Because see, that happened. I'll share that later. So anyway, what does coming down from the wall or from what God is calling you to do look like? It looks like this: losing spiritual intensity and focus. Number 2, dropping standards. If you find yourself dropping your standard of integrity, standard of righteousness, then you know you're being distracted. Amen. You're looking at DMs, and you know in the past you just didn't even open them. You open it and you looked at that guy's profile and you know nothing about his profile fits your lifestyle. But you replied anyway. How about this one? Shifting or misplaced priorities. Hey man, you got off. You used to serve. We can't find you now. Amen. Number four, entertaining things you once ignored. I'm gonna let that one speak for itself. Number five, busy but unproductive activity. Here's a good one, emotional entanglements. You know, sometimes distractions come in the form of soul ties. You know, you went to your class reunion and you saw your old flame. And you see them, and they still look good to you. Y'all start reminiscing. You remember? Do you remember? Yeah, I remember September. Because that's when I got pregnant by you. That's emotional entanglement. Listen. The worst time to make a decision is when you're in a soul tie. Here's number seven, drama that pulls your attention. Hey man, don't get caught up with drama at work. Number eight, opportunities that don't align with your assignment. So I want you to notice what the verse said in verse 3. It says, why should the work come to a standstill just so I can come down and see you? And it says four times, everybody say four times. Four times he sent this message and four times he gave the answer. I appreciate Nehemiah because sometimes during the consistency and the persistency, we tend to yield because we're tired of saying no. Have you ever dated somebody and the only reason you dated them is because they were persistent? They kept hitting it. They weren't even your type per se. But you dated them, and next thing you know, I mean, you caught up, and don't look straight. I mean, just look straight, because you might be married to them right now. You might be married to them right now. The goal of the enemy is to use distractions, watch this, to wear you down. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25 in the King James, in the A part of the verse says, and he, the enemy, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. The best way to wear somebody down is to keep going at them. Keep going at them. So what if Nehemiah would have come down each time from every invitation? It would have slowed his progress or ceased it altogether. And you have to have enough value in what God is calling you to do. You must value it enough to be able to discern distractions so that these distractions don't stop you. Because I'm looking back, what if I had have started working for that person? I wonder where I would be today. Because see, you ever been driving in your car and your text message go off and you look at your phone and don't realize traffic done stopped? And you look up, right. Or you're watching your phone or whatever, you on the phone with your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, and you done missed your exit because you were distracted. Here's a take-home thought. Anything that pulls you down has not been sent to build you up. He said, why should I stop doing the work that God has called me to do? And this is why you must make a decision to not allow distractions to detour you. Here's a take-home statement. If you don't settle, distractions will continue to meddle. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean that if you don't make up your mind that you will not be moved by the distractions, then they're going to keep coming. You just got to say no. Amen. You know he's not your type. You know she's not your type. She might look like your type, but she... dumb as rocks. He might look good. He handsome. He got all those muscles, but those muscles are nothing but rocks because he's dumb as rocks. You got to put a hard no in there. No. No, I'm not doing it. Amen. And I've seen so many single people whose lives get off track because they connect with the wrong person. And because they were so desperate to be in a relationship that their desperation blinded them. And distractions typically sound reasonable, but they are spiritually dangerous. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 says, you were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place. And please don't toss this off as insignificant. It only takes a minute, a minute amount of yeast, you know, to permeate the entire loaf of bread. If I say years ago, you know, I was single the first time. Praise the Lord. And, you know, and I lived on the street. Most of y'all know the story, but I have been single. I didn't believe in dating unnecessarily, okay? Because my attitude is I'm dating to marry, okay? So you're not going to get my emotional state, my financial state. You're not going to get none of that. So anyway, I meet this girl. And the way I met them is she's coming down. The street was a one-way street. Half the street was one way. The other half was two way. Well, they lived on the half where it was a one way. I had never seen them come down the street. So these two ladies come down the street. They're in the car. And I'm washing my car outside. And when they came by, I looked up. And they both waved and spoke. Hey, how you doing? I said, hey, how you doing? And, you know, they left. And the Holy Spirit said, distraction. They didn't look like a distraction, though. So I literally said to the Holy Spirit, how is that a distraction? I didn't stop them. I didn't ask for their phone number. They didn't ask me for mine. And next thing you know, they looped back around and came back down the street again and stopped and started talking. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? My name's so-and-so. As soon as they pull off, the Holy Spirit said, distraction. I said, how is that a distraction? I didn't ask for their phone number. I just said hello, blah, 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 blah. Well, next day, I got a phone call on a landline. Y'all know what a landline is, right? Yeah, that's a phone connected with a wire coming from the wall, young people. And the lady I was living with, named Miss Johnson, it was like my grandmother. She was like, Evan, the phone is for you. And I'm thinking, I'm not even from Ohio. I don't know nobody here. I get on the phone, and guess who it was? Miss Distraction. So we start talking. And I'll never forget, we went out a couple of times. Yeah. He said, oh, no. Oh, no. Distractions are attractions. It can look good. It can be good. But it may not be good for you. And everything about this girl, watch this, checked off everything in the natural and spiritual. Family were Christians. She loved the Lord. I mean, educated, beautiful, all that stuff, right? And as I prayed about it, this verse came right here. He says, Evan, you did run well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who called you. He says, Evan, I didn't send her. And see, here's the problem with most people when they encounter distractions. Some of them are attractive. So instead of stopping and letting the word confirm your direction, you let your feelings be your end goal. Because it feels good. It looks good. It sounds good, right? So here's a take-home statement I want to give you. It's my faithfulness to his assignment that keeps me in spiritual alignment. I wonder what would have happened if I would have got with that girl. Probably would have never went to Bible school. Here's number three. Distractions will lie hoping that you will try. Everybody say, distractions will lie hoping that you will try. In Nehemiah 6, verse 5, I'm reading out of the Message translation. He said, the fifth time, the same messenger, the same message, Sambalat sent an unsealed letter. In our day, an unsealed letter would come in the form of a post or an email or an effective text message. And it said, this is what it says. The word is out among the nations, and Geshem says it's true that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. That's why you're rebuilding this wall. The word is that you want to be king and that you've appointed prophets to announce this in Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. The king is going to be told all of this. Don't you think we should sit down and talk? And I sent him back this. There is nothing to what you're saying. You've made it all up. Lies come in three forms. Everybody say three forms. They come in three forms. Lies to you. And see, here's the thing about a lie. A lie typically has a little truth in it, or you wouldn't believe it. So lies can come to you, or here's the second way lies can come. Lies can come through you. And you say, what do you mean? Because you've listened to somebody and you took what they said is true. You didn't get both sides of the story. You just decided to believe them. So you believe what they said. And so now you're telling everybody what they said, but you don't realize that what you're saying that they said to you is a lie. So now you're just transferring it on. So lies through you. Here's one. Lies about you. How many have been lied about? Let me see your hand. Been lied about? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Almost everybody hand. If you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're the one lying. Lies about you. Because verse 9 says they were trying to intimidate us into quitting. They thought they'll give up, they'll never finish. Here's a take-home statement. If you don't discern the voice, you will make the wrong choice. I'm going to say that again. If you don't discern the voice, you will make the wrong choice. Everybody say, if you don't discern the voice, you will make the wrong choice. Now, let me give context real quick. I'm almost done here, so y'all can stop being antsy. Let me give you the context of what we're about to read. So Jesus had met with his disciples, and the apostles said, hey, listen, I'm getting ready to die. They're going to kill your boy. Okay? So when we go back in town, don't be shocked when they come. They're going to come and take me away from you. And so that's the context. So now let's see what Peter's response was. I'm reading out of the NIV version. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Oh, my God. You rebuking Jesus? He started rebuking Jesus. He says, never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, who? Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Everybody say this. If you don't discern the voice, you will make the wrong choice. Church, sometimes people have good intentions, but it's not God's intention for you. Because if you don't discern the source, you will hear the wrong voice. And deception, which causes derailment, can never, watch this, it'll never push you in the right direction. In other words, you got to make a decision. Where is this distraction coming from? Because watch this, there's a voice behind the voice. Amen. Think about it. Depending on what your ear is hearing, what Peter said sounded really comforting. Oh, Jesus, that's not going to happen. No, Jesus, we're not going to let that happen. I mean, he's proven to Jesus that, hey, I chopped somebody's ear off for you, Jesus. But the voice behind the voice was trying to get Jesus, watch this now, to derail from his assignment. Have you ever thought about what could happen if you got derailed? Who are you dropping? Do you know in the Bible, there are two types of drops in the Bible. When Jonathan, Saul's son in the Old Testament, had a son, his son was named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth had like a lady, like a babysitter, who took care of him. And so when the enemies were coming to kill everybody, because typically what happens when a new king comes on board, they just kill the rest of their family. But anyway, they were after Mephibosheth. And so the servant lady took him and started running, and she dropped him. But when she dropped him, she injured him for life. But then in the New Testament, we have four friends who has a friend laying on a bed. And on this bed, he was crippled. But his friends, they got on the roof and they dropped him down into the presence of Jesus. In other words, their drop healed him. Mephibosheth's drop hurt him. When you get out of position to your assignment, the question I'm asking you is, who you dropping? Which now brings us now to point number four, and this is the last of it. Prayerlessness will lead to distractiveness. See, many people don't pray about things because we really don't want to know what God has to say. We go in with a fixed agenda of what we want to hear. And the more dangerous prayer is when we pray and we don't wait for God to say. Have you ever done that? Man, you ask God something and he ain't said nothing. So the question is, what do you do? What do you do when you prayed and God ain't said nothing? What do you do? You do what you've been doing. That's what you do. You don't just, well, here's what most people do. They take God's silence as approval for guidance. In other words, God didn't say nothing, so it's okay for me to do something. But see, prayer will help you separate flesh from spirit because your soul always wants to be in control. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, your own soul, but in all of your ways. How many ways? All your ways. Acknowledge him and he will what? Watch this. Proverbs 3, verse 5 in the Message translation says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. And everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. In church, I have seen where God is working, especially in single people. I don't know why I'm talking. How many singles in the room again? Okay, I don't know why I'm talking to y'all. But don't do it. You might get an invitation coming up. Let's go to dinner. You ain't been on a date in so long, you don't even pray about it. Watch this. What's wrong with a free dinner? I ain't paying for it. What you don't know is that invitation could open the door to a distraction. Amen. Don't let Facebook make you have to get on your face. Yeah. Old flame, you better blow that out. So how do we resolve this? How do we resolve this? Here's number one. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's going on in your life right now that this message is talking to? Because here's the thing. I don't be knowing what be going on in y'all's life. But the Holy Spirit knows how to just figure it out. And that's all I'm doing. I'm just delivering mail this morning. I may not have a mailman uniform on, but I'm delivering right now. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Here's number two. Watch this. What things are taking place in you or around you that may look like invitations and opportunities, but they're disguised as distractions? Number three, make a decision. Everybody say, make a decision. Make a decision to not be distracted. Say no, even if you have to do what Nehemiah did and say no four times. Amen. I remember when I was college, I'm closing. Touch your neighbor and say, he's closing right now. Yeah, I remember in college, I was real, I had a friend named Craig. Craig was my best friend, one of my second best friend in college. And Craig and I, we were real Christians. You know, before I got saved, in fact, the only reason I transferred from Jarvis Christian College over to Prairie View A&M University is because the ratio for women were a whole lot higher at Prairie View. And they had visitation in the dorms too? What? I was going. I transferred for just that reason. And then get over there at Prayer View. I mean, and look, the statistics were true. I was like, wow, wow, wow. Talking about a feast for a king. I was going for it, boy. And lo and behold, your boy gets saved. Golly. I got saved. First lady, I got saved. Watch this. I get saved and I live saved. So me and Craig, we weren't going out with these girls. So you know what they did? Start calling us gay. Mm-hmm. Distraction. You know. But I knew. No, you just want some. Ain't happening over here. I don't need no Evan Jr. in college. Praise God. Make a decision not to be distracted. Here's number four. Watch this. This is so good right here. Make answered prayer. Say answered prayer. Make answered prayer your guide, not the attractiveness of the lie. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, what is God saying to you? Don't let your feelings be your prayer answer. Let the word confirm. The Bible says God will confirm the word with signs. The first confirmation should be the word of God in your life. So what is the word saying to you today? Because there are some people in the room, you're probably in some distractions right now, and the Lord is trying to get you to discern and pay attention so you can put your discerning ears up. Or maybe some of you, some distractions are coming and he's trying to get you at this point to pay attention. But either way, I believe God is speaking. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you're so good. You love us so much. And I pray that the word that has been spoken will somehow reach every heart, every mind, and every life. Lord, let us have the courage that even if the distraction looks good, we'll be able to discern it and trust you. Because God, sometimes the imitation comes before the real thing does. And so I pray that you, by your Spirit, will help us to discern what you want to do and what you're trying to do in Jesus' name.